Live scores, sharp options, no waiting till tomorrow. BetMGM Tonight is back.
Collaborate and listen. Welcome back, BetMGM Tonight, Westwood One Sports. He's Brad Evans, I'm Pat Boyle. Phone number to join the show, 310-840-4910. This segment is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto insurance from Progressive. Get a fast quote at ProgressiveCommercial.com. And also, BetMGM players will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. To use the Parlay Boost token, add a parlay wager made up of any sport wagers to your bet slip and activate the token. If you win your wager that was made with the token, you will receive extra winnings. So you got Game 7 starting here in the next 5 minutes between the Habs and the Sabres. You got Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals in an hour from now between the Spurs and the Thunder. You got plenty of baseball games. We're rocking and rolling on this Monday. Before we talk a little baseball, let's get to your phone calls here. Again, 310-840-4910. Daniel's next up in Maryland, wants to talk a little Seahawks. And that's fine. We'll talk football anytime, any day. Daniel, you're on line one. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Pat? Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about, like, the Seahawks, you know. They won the Super Bowl. And, like, yeah, they're a great team. I mean, their defense was insane last year. This year, I'm thinking they lost K-9, who was a great player in the playoffs. He got 3 touchdowns in one of those games. They lost a lot of their defensive players also. They lost Kobe Durant, I think, Leonard Williams, I'm pretty sure. They lost a lot of good players they had that actually made a difference to them. So I just think that this year they're not going to be the same team at all. I mean, of course they're going to be a good team, but I don't think they're going to get to those, like, 12, 13 wins, maybe, like, going, like, 8 or 9.
Okay, well, Daniel, we appreciate the call. They do still have Leo Williams, but you were correct on the other two. They did lose Kobe Durant, and they did lose, obviously, Kenneth Walker III here. Kobe Bryant. I always get the Kobes mixed up. One Kobe Durant, one Kobe Bryant. Kobe Durant is now with the Dallas Cowboys, and he was with the Rams, and Kobe Bryant was with the Seahawks.
Bear down.
Yeah, and is now with your Chicago Bears. So, So there's that. Also, appreciate the call, Daniel. So he thinks the Seahawks are going to take a step back this year, Brad. And luckily, we've got the schedule out now to talk about whether they will or they won't take a step back. Here's the thing about Seattle. They didn't end up losing a ton of players this offseason. I mean, they lost a good amount. Don't get me wrong. But it's not like their whole roster was depleted here. They lose Boye Mafe, that's, you know, sure. They lose Kobe Bryant, yes. They do lose Kenneth Walker III. But they've got Rashid Shaheed coming back on a 3-year deal. They got Josh Jobe coming back on a 3-year deal, and he's going to kind of slide into some of the same spots that Kobe Bryant was playing last year. They do get Emmanuel Wilson. They got some offensive line help. But I think the continuity that this team has coming back now from last year is really going to serve them well. Because you look at the other main pieces. Darnold, obviously a quarterback. The receiving core is essentially the same. JSN, Kupp, yep. Rashid Shaheed, A.J. Barner, and Elijah Arroyo, who I'm hoping makes a big step forward at tight end. The offensive line is mostly the same, at least all the big key pieces. And then, yeah, most, I would say, what, 80% of that defense is back? So they're going to be great. Now, the division is tough. And as you would mention, for a Super Bowl winner, the schedule is going to be tough, but it's not impossible. And it helps them out that they play the Cardinals twice a year. They do play the Las Vegas Raiders this season. And then there's a ton of coin flips. Like, they play the NFC East. So how are the Cowboys going to be? How are my New York Giants going to be? How are the Eagles going to be in the Commanders, right? Every year, we feel like you can get the ceiling for any of those NFC East teams. You could also just as easily get the floor. So I think that they are very well positioned. You know, I know that they lose, they lose the offensive coordinator here to the Raiders, and that is, of course, Clint Kubiak, but I think Mike McDonald's a hell of a head coach, and I think that the Seattle Seahawks have a very stable core, and I would be very surprised, even in the NFL, where we see, Brad, winners become losers and losers become winners very quickly. I'd be surprised if the Seahawks add their name to the list of teams that win the Super Bowl and then miss the playoffs the next year. I think the floor for them, despite, you know, unless there's some big time catastrophic injuries, I think the floor for the Seahawks is 10 wins, and I'd be surprised if they're not back in the postseason.
I think that's an entirely fair perspective. Mike Clay at ESPN gives them 65% or better win probability in 13 games. 13. I think a 10-win season is indeed the floor. I think they're going to probably win, I would say, 11 games, maybe 12, but 11 feels right. That offense, man, is going to be a well-oiled machine. Yes, even without K-9 on that roster now in Kansas City, that's Kenneth Walker III. But they went out and spent, last first-round pick on Jadarian Price out of Notre Dame. Jeremiah Love's teammate, dude's a stud. He's a glider. He can make a lot of guys miss. Very talented runner on the ground. And it's going to be committee backfield anyway. When Zach Charbonnet comes back, probably going to miss a handful of games. But they got Emmanuel Wilson, who's looked good in a pinch. At least he did when he was a member of the Green Bay Packers. He got JSN, arguably one of the best, if not the best, wide receivers in the NFL. And Sam Darnold can certainly twirl it, probably going to throw at least 24, 25 passing touchdowns. And I still feel this defense with the former standout Devin Witherspoon is going to be at least a top 10 unit. So they may take a step back, but it's only going to be a slight step back. Seattle is going to be darn good.
Yeah, so we both agree there, but Daniel in Maryland thinks otherwise, and that's fine. That's the spirit of debate. That's the spirit of sports talk radio. You can have an opinion, and we can agree. We can disagree. We will respect it for the most part, most cases. 310-840-4910. You can join the show. You can call. You can text. All right, let's talk some baseball here, Brad. And let's talk your Cubbies, because we had rivalry weekend in Major League Baseball, and most of those rivalries, I don't know if they were actually intensely felt, but you had some pretty damn good games. And for your Cubbies, they go out on Friday night while we're doing our show, and they nearly blow the game to the White Sox, and then they come back and they spank them in the final couple of innings and win that one 10-5. And then they lose on Saturday 8-3, and then they lose yesterday 9-8 in 10 innings. So just like that. Just like that. Not like the Cubbies are still in tremendous shape, and they've been on a hell of a heater here for the last couple of weeks. They're still atop the NL Central at 29-18, and they've got the second best record in the National League, same record as the Dodgers, both of them still chasing the Braves. But how about the White Sox? Not only do they take 2 out of 3 from the Cubs, for the first time since 2022, they're 2 games above 500 in May or later for the first time in 4 years. The Chicago White Sox right now are 24-22. They're a game back of the Guardians in the AL Central. Munetaka Murakami is just continuing to smash baseballs. And I think as each day passes and each kind of impressive series victory they have here, again, they swept Kansas City. They took 2 out of 3 from Seattle. They took 2 out of 3 from San Diego. All of that in the month of May here. Are the White Sox for real? Like, do we need to embrace what is actually happening here on the south side of Chicago?
By all day. I do believe in the Southsiders, the Chicago White Sox. And look, I don't have any kind of lean or heartfelt moment for that organization, though I'm a diehard Chicago sports fan. But this team is a real deal, Holyfield. And you look at their starting lineup on the hitting side of things. All they do is mash, man. Their last 15 games, they got 28 bombs. That leads the major leagues over that span. They're top 3 in total home runs hit this year. So they're more than just Munetaka Murakami. Colson Montgomery has been incredible. They got other boppers in that lineup. All they do is smack the stitches over the fence. They do it consistently. And the pitching staff has been decent. They're a fringe top 15 team ERA squad overall the last couple of weeks. But they've exceeded expectations in terms of that starting rotation. Davis Martin is a guy who's been really impressive, to say the least, in ERA right around 3 on the year. The back in the bullpen has been a misadventure at times, but for the most part, they've been able to slam the door on opponents, and they play in a weak division. That's the other key here. They are trailing the Cleveland Guardians by a single game right now. Now, the downside for the White Sox, if you look at all the particular analytics that are out there, they're -7 right now in run differential. So that is a harbinger of maybe negative performances to come. Is a sustainable projection for them to be at 24-22? Well, the Twins, they're -6 right now in run differential, almost identical to the White Sox. So the White Sox, again, 2 games above 500. The Twins are 21-26 overall. Detroit's been a letdown, though Tarik Skubal has gotten some good news. He's going to be back sooner rather than later. They're trailing Cleveland right now by 5.5 games. Then the Royals are in the bottom of the league, or division, I should say, although they are tied with the Tigers at 20-27 overall. When push comes to shove, come September, where will the White Sox stand? Dare I say they could win this division? I think that's entirely on the table. They could be buyers at the trade deadline. And this is a team that is built to win because all they do is hit moonshots. And a lot of that coming off the bat of the prodigious Munetaka Murakami.
Yeah, he's got 17 home runs. And also, Colson Montgomery, who I feel like, I know Monty's probably been high on him. I know Combs has been high on him. But I feel like we've been hearing about Colson Montgomery here becoming an all-star caliber player now at 24 years old for the last year. I mean, last year in his rookie season, he played half the season and he had 21 bombs and 55 ribbies. He had an OPS of 840. So this is, I wouldn't even say he's having a breakout season. This is kind of what a lot of folks expected, but you put the numbers together at the end of the season and he might have over 35 home runs and 100 RBIs. So you got those two guys and Miguel Vargas, as Combs says in our show chat, he looks like the guy the Dodgers thought they have or were supposed to have rather than the guy that they gave up on. So you got three big time hitters right now in that lineup and a bunch of other guys that are kind of doing their role. You mentioned the top end of that pitching rotation. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to make a claim that the White Sox are going to win this division. There's still, a fourth of the way through the season, a little bit more than a fourth of the way through the season. We're about 27, 28% of the way there. There's still so much time for stuff to happen. But at this point, it would surprise me if the White Sox finish under 500 because they've got three near all-star caliber hitters in their lineup here. How about the other side of this equation, though, from this weekend, Brad? Because it made the rounds on social media. It became a big debate, a big talking point. Your guy, PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, gets into not one, but two altercations with fans. But the one that everybody saw and is talking about is the one on Sunday where he goes to try to make an incredible catch and crashes into the wall, doesn't hold on to that. You got some fans who were seated below the bleachers, you know, in the stadium, and you got a woman in a White Sox hat kind of heckles him. And I can't even give you the bleeped version of what he says because it's NSFW, but it was actually, I guess I'll do it. It was bleep my bleeping bleep bleep. So there was that.
We've all said that bleep.
Pretty easily caught on microphone and on cameras. And afterwards, PCA said, quote, "I saw the cameras in my face. It's not like I didn't. I'm definitely aware of the fact that it has blown up. I'm intense on the field. In a moment like that, I think I let it get away from me a little bit." As of today, no discipline for Pete Crow Armstrong. Craig Counsell said he's hopeful that he learns from the experience. But, look, it's definitely not something you want to hear a player say to a fan. But if a fan's going to heckle a player, I feel like outside of using, obviously, any kind of slurs or any demeaning language, I mean, I guess you could say that was demeaning. I don't know, man. If you got a fan heckling you after you try to make a catch into the wall and you crash and there's potential, there could have been an injury. I think this is one we should just kind of swipe away here and be like, all right, he learned from it, shouldn't have said it. But I know there's a lot of people that have a lot harsher reactions. They think PCA should be suspended. I do not. I think you got two rival teams, if you want to call it that, with a fan heckling a player, and a player gave it back to the fan, which we don't often see. I don't mind it.
I don't care. This is a nothing burger, in my opinion. Look, I have been to many a game on the north side, many a game on the south side in the great city of Chicago. I can tell you this. South side fans always got a chip on their shoulder. They're kind of like the little redheaded stepchild of the Windy City. They always think, oh, the disrespect. Nobody cares about White Sox players. Nobody cares about this organization. Hell, at times, we don't care that much about the organization because they all hate Jerry Reinsdorf, who owns the Chicago White Sox, and they want a new ballpark somewhere else that may be more attractive overall, although they've made a lot of investments into Raid Field. It's actually a really nice venue, and they got the best food in the city, bar none. It's like a lot better than at Wrigley. I'll say that. I will say this as well. I, again, have been to those games. I have sat everywhere imaginable inside Raid Field. in the bleachers in particular. Oh, that is a salty group of individuals. I went to a game once against the Yankees. I saw not one, not two, but three fist fights in the stands right in front of me between Yankees fans and White Sox fans. And then I went to take a bathroom break. And I go and I'm standing in line to use the urinal. And there's an old man, a guy probably well into his 70s, he might have been in his 80s, who was a Yankees fan, a Yankees hat on, Yankees jersey on. He's just using the bathroom, standing at the urinal, and the White Sox fans behind him are berating him ceaselessly. And I was like, man, just let it go, guys. Let it go. That is the nature of the beast on that side of town when it comes to baseball fandom. So I'm not remotely surprised. Some random lady that was there, I think for a bachelorette party, is what I had heard, starts dropping F-bombs at PCA. He slings the F-bombs back at her, among some other things. No big deal. It's par for the course. It is a rivalry, and it means so much more to the people on the South Side who constantly feel they are disrespected.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. Look, I mean, it's some good old-fashioned trash talking. Good old-fashioned trash talking. And I don't think there should be any disciplinary action. Yeah, again, an apology or that, you know, he said, I let it get away from me. Sure. Okay. That's good. That's par for the course. He's a young player. He's a fiery player. I know you guys love him. You know, you Cubbies fans love PCA. And
we do.
Yeah. Probably let the competitive juices get a little bit too much of him there. But I don't think it's anything that he should end it over. 310-840-4910 is the phone number to join the show. When we come back, we'll talk some football here. What is the destination for Stephon Diggs, released by the Patriots? We think there's an A.J. Brown trade coming on the horizon between the Patriots and the Eagles. But what about Stephon Diggs, who was the number one receiver for the NFC champ last year? We've got some reporting on that as well. We'll get to it when we come back, along with your phone calls and your texts. 310-840-4910. He's Brett Evans. I'm Pat Boyle. This is BetMGM Tonight, right here on Westwood One Sports.
Well, guess who's back? Aaron Rodgers has finally decided to return to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a one-year deal for the future Hall of Famer. Reunited with Coach Mike McCarthy, they won a Super Bowl in Green Bay. Can they do it again in the Steel City? Westwood One Sports.
The world is huge, like 197 million square miles huge, but it's also smaller than you think. With unlimited 2% cash back, the Cash Rewards Plus Visa card from Navy Federal brings our members closer to the game they love, rewarding fans of FIFA World Cup 26 every step of the way, thanks to Visa. From new jerseys and gear to game day tickets and nonstop cheer, with Visa and Navy Federal by your side, the world is at your fingertips. Terms apply for credit card rewards. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash for more information. Visa, worldwide partner of FIFA World Cup 26.
I love days like these at the pool, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. I'm ready to make a splash with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza. Skyrizi is a prescription-only injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. At 4 months, most people saw 90% clearer skin when measured from head to toe, and many were even 100% plaque-free. People also saw significant improvement in psoriasis symptoms of pain, redness, itching, and burning.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Now there's nothing on my skin, thanks to Skyrizi. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Ellie here is getting the sleeve she's always dreamed of. She worked with Empower and planned for her next move, so she got good at money. Now she can be a little bad. Oh, by the way, you spelled journey wrong. No worries. She can afford the cover-up, too. Ooh, check out my tat. It says, invest well, live a little. Start today at Empower.com.
Local sports talk on the bet. Tune in to Mile High Sports Show with Nate Lundy to talk all things Avalanche, Broncos, Nuggets, and Rockies. You're listening to the Bet 1430, the home of the Mile High Sports Show with Nate Lundy, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 p.m.
The weather in Denver is absolutely affecting your ride. This wet weather slowing things down a bit on 70 West. Brake lights begin at 270. 70 westbound stays slow to I-25. There's a crash on I-25 northbound. This is just before you get to Alameda Avenue. And it does have I-25 north slow from Louisiana. Things stay slow, though. Past that crash, in stretches toward Coors Field, you get a bit of a break and then a second crash on I-25 north, just north of 270. And finally, an incident on 70 East, just past 270. A couple vehicles tied up and the backup at